and not because I can see him now. In the apartheid South Africa of the time, he would have been classified as coloured. There was some Chinese in the mix, I thought, along with Indian and maybe Malay, but he was predominantly black African. He was young, barely 20, lean, muscular, with a liking for colourful tank tops and for conversation. We had plenty of time to talk. Why I remember him, what struck me most particularly, was his point of view. On my way from London to Cape Town, I had been collecting opinions. What did newly independent black Kenyans think, or Tunisian Arabs, or Afrikaners, or Egyptians, or white Rhodesians, or Sudanese Christians, or Turkana tribesmen, or young unemployed Libyan Muslims? But this man, I must have known his name, but it's lost to me, saw things quite outside categories. A vivid intelligence shone through his ill-assorted features, unhampered by too much education, nourished on innumerable encounters in ports around the world. He was the third world embodied, yet somehow he transcended it. He was a great optimist, mischievous, full of humour and insight. He stood outside the attitudes of deprivation, but he asked sharp questions. There was no chip on his shoulder, no fear in his eyes, no violence in his heart, only a clear awareness of possibilities. He had an intuitive grasp of the forces at work in the world and seemed contemptuous of them. I can't remember the words he used, but they made a big impact on me. I had never expected to meet a man so able to liberate himself from his circumstances. However, I realize now his true meaning escaped me. At the time, I couldn't see beyond what I had only just absorbed for myself, which was a view of people throughout a continent locked into their own tribal, national, and religious beliefs, and profoundly suspicious of their neighbors. After 2 weeks, the ship docked in Fortaleza to offload a cargo of cashew nuts. This was a steamy tropical port I had never heard of, and though I had paid to go on to Rio, I decided on a whim to take advantage of this surprise landfall and disembark with the nuts. The bike was spirited away into customs limbo, and while I waited for the bureaucratic process to unravel, I made contact with some Irish priests and stayed at their parish house. They were wonderful men who embraced liberation theology and had the quaint idea that they should actually give material help to the destitute peasants of the region.